Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 24, question 62. But why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Because the righteousness which can stand before the judgment seat of God must be perfect throughout and wholly conformable to the divine law. But even our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin. Question 63. Do our good works merit nothing, even though it is God's will to reward them in this life and in that which is to come? The reward comes not of merit, but of grace. And then question 64. But does not this doctrine make men careless and profane? No, for it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness. As we continue to look at the Catechism and focus our attention particularly on what contribution the questions, even more than the answers, make to our understanding, I think you'll notice on this Lord's Day that the questions do a fair amount of heavy lifting. Question 62, in the form of the question, why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God, teaches us the truth. It makes the assertion, our good works cannot be whole, the whole of our righteousness before God, nor can they be even a part of our righteousness before God. Our good works have no place and no connection to our righteousness before God. Your good works are as irrelevant to your justification as your bad works. Your good actions, the things you do right, they count to making you righteous just as much as your sins do. Which is to say, they don't. They're entirely irrelevant. And then the Catechism anticipates an objection. But how can it be that our good works merit nothing, even though it is God's will to reward them in this life and in that which is to come? And there again, you see the question doing some heavy lifting. The question is explaining to us, it is God's will to reward our good works, both in this life and in the life which is to come. They're drawing, of course, on Paul's statement to Timothy that godliness has promise for this life and for the life that is to come. So God rewards your good works here. They're completely irrelevant to your justification, and yet God still rewards them here and hereafter. How do you fit those two things together? How can it be that God rewards them and yet they're irrelevant? Well, because God is pleased to crown his own grace in us. He adds the grace of reward to the grace of having empowered us to perform a good work in the first place. And then they anticipate yet another objection, one that maybe they had learned to expect from some of their opponents. Does not this doctrine make men careless and profane? And here again we see that the Catechism is not just communicating information, it's also equipping Christians who are able to think about their faith, who are able to explain their faith, who are able even to reply to objections. If my good works count for just as much in my justification as my sins, then I can stop worrying about good works and just go on sinning, right? No, that's not how that works. And if that's the logic that's happening in my brain, it tells you that there's something wrong inside, that I still have not received the grace of God that would enable me to see sin as a burden and good works as a privilege. If I take the Reformed doctrine of justification and say, oh goody, now I can live a life of sin and not suffer any of the consequences, all that that means is that I don't really get the gospel. I haven't seen the hatefulness of sin, and I haven't seen Christ as the one who delivers me from sin as well as from sin's consequences. In other words, I'm not a Christian at all. That's why they can say it is impossible that those who are implanted into Christ by true faith should not bring forth fruits of thankfulness.